So here's a question. If I were to survey you this morning and ask you to define for me joy, could you do it? If you could give me a definition of joy, would you do it? If I did that this morning, I would venture to say that most of us in the room would be a little bit baffled about how to define it. And if we sought to define joy, mostly we would use terms like feeling or happy or glad, and terms like that. That's not totally wrong, but my point is that we pursue something the Scripture tells us to pursue, but often have no idea what it really is. And that's not only for Christians, that's for humanity at large. Just about a year ago, a writer named Lachlan Brown published a piece on a blog site, and it had the cumbersome title, "If You Can't Remember the Last Time You Felt Joyful in Life, Say Goodbye to These 8 Habits." And then he listed and explained 8 habits that you should jettison if you're having trouble feeling, and that's a key term, pay attention to that, feeling joyful in life. For example, he said nurturing negativity. If you have a problem feeling joyful, then stop nurturing negativity. Ignoring self-care, living with a big ego, neglecting connections, chasing happiness, avoiding discomfort, holding on to the past, and number 8, overcommitting. Now, the truth is, all of these things will sap the joy in life. That's not untrue at all. What's very interesting about this article, however, if you were to go back and look it up, it's very notable that nowhere does he actually define joy. He just assumes that if you're practicing these 8 habits, you lack joy. What's also interesting is that Mr. Brown is not only not a Christian, he's a Buddhist. And his blog targets habits of Buddhism for regular people. And Buddhism is an atheistic religion. There is no God in Buddhism other than the Buddhist. Now, what's fascinating to me in that is it's an acknowledgement that joy is a human need. Even atheists acknowledge a need for joy. And even atheists, while they can't define it and don't fully understand it, they assume it. They assume that we should be experiencing this thing called joy. But maybe it's elusive. Maybe we don't know what it is. We don't know how to define it. We don't know how to get to it. So how do we experience it? This morning, we're going to launch a series that will take us to the holidays where we're going to be talking about how to live the joyful Christian life and what that looks like. And what I want us to understand right away is that the joyful Christian life, joyful living, is the norm for the Christian life. It's not the exception. In Scripture, we are taught that joyful living is the norm. That's not an issue. The issue is us understanding what it is and how to live that life, what that's actually supposed to look like in life. So this morning, we're going to move forward with that series and try to understand better what joy is in the Christian life and how that looks. Here's an example of just how normative joy is supposed to be in the Christian life. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul aligns joy with the kingdom of God. If we are praying for, living out, participating in the kingdom of God, we should be experiencing joy. He says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking." It's not the material things of life. The kingdom of God is not made up of the things of this world, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If the believer is living the Christian life, the believer should be experiencing joy, participating in joyful living. Well, what is it? What is it exactly that we're supposed to be participating in? The great Christian writer C.S. Lewis, who went from an atheist to a theist to a Christian, started to identify the idea of joy with what he called satisfaction of the soul. He said, "There's a yearning in every human being that this world will not satisfy. There's something bigger than us that we are pursuing," and he named it joy. He gave it that name. He said, "It's the joy that we're pursuing." And as he moved toward Christ and finally came to Christ, he realized that Christ is the one that provides that joy. That's what we're yearning for. That's what we need in life. That's our actual pursuit. Joyful living is the norm for the Christian life because joy is part of your relationship with Christ. A joyful soul is a soul that's satisfied in Christ. Satisfied in Christ. It's when we live for Christ. And sometimes, now, you may say you experience joy, and at one time you did, and maybe now you're wondering about it. Well, one of the things we'll look at in this series is restoring your joy, reclaiming your joy, restoring it. If it's waxed, if it's waned, maybe you started the Christian life joyful and you wonder what happened along the way. Or maybe you've just had a bad week. And you walk in here, you're still feeling grumpy. And here the pastor's talking about joy. I can identify with that. The last 3 days have not been banner days in the life of Pastor Bob. So much so that I looked at my wife this weekend and I said, I cannot believe I'm starting a series on joy this Sunday. Either God is really good or God has an incredible sense of humor. But we all need this. We all need to understand what joy is and how to apply it. To launch this series, we're going to look at two passages from the Apostle Paul. If you want to, you can find these with me, Philippians chapter 4 and then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So look at this with me. First of all, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. The Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." God wants you to live a joyful Christian life. In fact, he equips you for this. It's a key component to living for Christ. The biblical joy is a product of the lifestyle you live in Christ. That's biblical joy, is the lifestyle of the healthy Christian in the Christian life. Now, this morning we're going to focus on answering that question, what is it? What does the Bible teach joy actually is? So to do that, let's start at the beginning. What everyone typically thinks is that joy and happiness are the same thing. That joy and happiness are the same thing. So a lot of times the Christian, believing they should be joyful, tries to be happy all the time. And when we're unhappy, when things are not going well, we put on a false front. We just smile a lot to the point that it even gets a little creepy. And you all know Christians like that. Maybe you've tried to be a Christian like that. But I'm going to let you off the hook this morning. Joy and happiness are not the same thing. Now, they're similar. And they're similar in the fact that they both are emotional experiences. They're both emotional experiences. The dictionary defines happiness as a state of well-being, a pleasurable and satisfying, listen, experience. Now, what that means is happiness is fleeting. It's an experience that's tied to your circumstances or to another experience in life. And you come out of that with a very Disney feeling. You're happy. But the circumstances might change. They might change immediately. Your position might change. Your future might change. And suddenly you don't have that state of well-being, that pleasurable or satisfying experience. The word joy or rejoice, both are defined in the dictionary as to feel great delight and to be glad. There's feeling there. There's emotion there. Much like happiness, there's emotion in your joy. And that's a good thing. God created us as emotional creatures and beings. So joy is part of that. But notice also that definition says to be glad. It's a state of existence. You are glad. Not tied to the circumstances. You just are glad. The Bible uses the words happy and happiness about 30 times, maybe a little more. Your Bible uses the word, translates different words, happy or happiness, about 30 times. Your Bible translates or uses the words joy, joyful, or rejoice over 300 times. It's not an exception to the life in Christ. It's part of it. It's an expression of the life in Christ. It's so tied to your life in Christ that if you're missing out on it, you're missing out on a key component of what God wants in your life, in your relationship with Him. And that's the big difference between happiness as an emotion and even joy as an emotion, and joy is a fact. that happiness is nearly always tied to your circumstances, your situation, or your experience. But joy is in relationship to Christ. It is tied and wedded to Jesus himself and your God who gives you joy. It's because of your relationship with him. It's not because of the circumstances. And you might be, in fact, happy in some circumstances and sad in some circumstances. But the Bible actually teaches joy is a consistent experience of your life. Even more than an experience of the Christian life, joy is an expression of the Christian life. It's part of who you are in Christ. To live the joyful life is the norm, and it's something we should all aspire to. Laurie Santos is a professor at Yale University, and she has been nicknamed the happiness professor. She studies happiness. She studies happiness in human beings. She also studies happiness in monkeys and in dogs. I've had Labrador retrievers. As best I can tell, they're always happy. She was interviewed not long ago by the New York Times, and at the end of the interview, the reporter for the New York Times asked her, what's the answer? What does it mean to be happy, and what's the purpose in life? And Dr. Santos answered this way. She said, oh, it's smelling your coffee in the morning. It's loving your kids. It's daisies. It's springtime. It's all the good things in life. That's what it is. To which the New York Times stated, in other words, she doesn't know. The article also said Santos says some good and important things, but when she reaches her positive prescriptions, we find that we can gain equally useful insights from greeting cards and embroidered samplers. In fact, a lot of times better. The platitude, when life hands you lemons, make lemonade, at least I can use that when I suffer, the article says. But have all good things means nothing. What's the secret to enjoying life? We just don't know. End of article. Actually, we do know. Joy is tied to a relationship with your Creator through Jesus Christ. Ultimately, you cannot define happiness or joy without that relationship with Christ, or you're always trying to find it in the circumstances. You're always trying to find it in other people. You're always disappointed when they don't make you happy. The Bible teaches that your joy is in Christ. This morning, we're going to ask and answer that question, what is joy, by looking at three biblical teachings that are overlapping in everything else we will look at and study in this series. Three biblical teachings that are absolute, they're consistent throughout Scripture when we talk about joy. So look at this with me. First of all, the Bible teaches the practice of joyful living. The practice of joyful living. Joyful living is not an accident. It doesn't happen when you're passive and you're not growing in your relationship with Christ. Joyful living, the Bible teaches, is something you do and something you can choose to do. In those two passages we looked at, the Apostle Paul focuses in on two features of the practice of joyful living. First of all, he says, joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. That's why it can be a practice. That's why it's something you can do, because it's a choice. In both places we read, the word translated rejoice is an imperative. That means it's a command. God's looking at you and saying, rejoice right now. Live joyfully. Choose to live joyfully. He's not saying, boy, I sure do hope you're happy. He's saying, make that choice regardless of your circumstances. It's not an experience you pursue. It's an expression of your relationship with him. You can actually cultivate and foster joy in your walk with Christ. You choose it. And secondly, Paul says, joy is a habit. Rejoice how often? Always. Rejoice always, Paul says. And again I say, just in case you missed it, Paul says, and again I say, rejoice. It's a command. It's an imperative. It's a decision. It's a choice. Now, the term translated always does not refer to walking around every day laughing and smiling. That's not what Paul means. The term translated always refers to every season of life. Everything you go through, every circumstance. Just like elsewhere, the Apostle Paul says, the Bible says, be thankful in all things. Because both of them tune you into the nature of God. You are joyful, you are thankful, not because of the circumstances, good or bad, but because of Jesus Christ, because God is consistent, because God loves you, because you know His nature and you know His character. Joy actually becomes a habit of the Christian life. You can develop spiritual muscle memory. When you foster and cultivate joyful Christian living, it will become your go-to response, your expression of your faith, no matter the circumstances. Does that mean, Pastor Bob, that I never experience pain? I might never be depressed? I would never have heartache or disappointment? Not at all. In fact, the Bible addresses all those things in the Christian life. The undergirding expression, however, is joyful Christian living. That's what you're doing. Not how you feel, but what you're doing is expressing your faith in joy no matter the circumstances. Why? Because of Christ. That brings us to the second feature, the second teaching of Scripture that Paul gives. Not only the practice of the joyful life, but the provision of joyful living. The provision of joyful living. Rejoice always in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says. Now, in the Lord actually means two things, and we'll see this throughout Scripture. The first thing it means is you don't rejoice in the circumstances. You're not obligated to be happy about all the circumstances you're in. You rejoice in Him. He is present with you. He is powerful. He is faithful. He is always there. He is providing for you. He is taking care of you. You rejoice in His character. You rejoice in what you know about Christ. You rejoice in the Lord. Not in your circumstances, but in the Lord. It also reminds us, second, that what God requires, rejoice always, God provides for. Always remember that. What God requires, God provides for. When God requires something of you, when God commands something of you and says, make this choice, He will help you do that. He will provide for that. And the Bible is very specific that joy is part of the character of God. Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, number one. What's number two? Joy. The Holy Spirit Himself provides for you the joy that God requires of you to express. So the closer you are in your relationship with God, the greater that provision is in every circumstance in your life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I know I can trust Him. I know He does not change. My circumstances might be a mess. I might not feel very well today. My relationships might be broken. I might even be discouraged or depressed. But I know Him. And I rejoice because He is with me. I rejoice because He doesn't change. I rejoice because He loves me. I rejoice because He knows the future. I rejoice because He defeats evil in my life. I rejoice because He answers prayer. I rejoice because He saved my soul. I rejoice in the Lord. And I can always do that no matter the circumstances. And if that joy's not fully there yet, then I can rely on Him to produce that fruit in me as well. Isn't that good news? God provides what God requires, and God never changes. He calls out to you, rejoice in me. Don't look at your circumstances and try to be happy. Rejoice in me, and I'll give you joy overflowing. The practice of joyful living means you can make a choice and develop a habit to live joyfully in life. The provision of joyful living means that you rejoice in the Lord and He provides what He requires. Then look third. The third teaching of the Bible is the impact of joyful living. The impact of joyful living. That when you are serving Him in whatever circumstances you are, And God is producing that joy in you. It impacts every other area of the Christian life. In Philippians 4, it impacts how you relate to people. If you rejoice always, it impacts how you relate to people. It impacts whether or not you worry. Don't raise your hand. Do you ever worry? It impacts how you pray. You're rejoicing in Christ and living in joyful living impacts the hope you have in Christ. In 1 Thessalonians, also it impacts your prayer life and it impacts your gratitude to God. It impacts you. It might not change your circumstances, but in your relationship with Christ, it impacts you. Y'all remember Bethany Hamilton, the surfer who as a teenager in 2003 was attacked by a tiger shark in Hawaii. She was surfing off the coast of Hawaii in October of 2003. And she was a competitive surfer, still is now. And so she was treated at the hospital. She lost her arm, and you know the story. And she's a strong Christian. Her parents are believers as well. And she was interviewed not long ago by USA Today, actually not long after the attack, by USA Today, who noted that after she recovered, and just a couple of months after the accident, after the attack, she was back to surfing. And in January of the next year, she had entered her first competition after the attack in October of the previous year. So USA Today noted that when they called up with her, she was raising money to restore a man's eyesight for eye surgery. She had visited New York City and was giving away ski coats to homeless girls. She was asked about that and why she was doing that, and she said, and she gave away her own ski coat, and she said, well, the girl needed it more than I did. USA Today said, as always, Hamilton remains undaunted. She has told her father that if having only one arm proved detrimental to reaching the top in competitive surfing, then she would start playing soccer. Her pastor, Steve Thompson, and I was interviewed by USA Today in the same article, and this is what he said about Bethany Hamilton. He said, she's looking forward to the future. She's asking herself, how can I show the world I still have a life, that I enjoy my life, and that my life is filled with joy? He said she has an underlying trust that God is taking care of her. Translation, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's your focus. That's your determination. These two letters we read from the Apostle Paul, Philippians and 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote those roughly about a decade apart. The first one of the two that he wrote that we had God preserved for us in Scripture is 1 Thessalonians, one of his earliest letters that we have preserved in the Bible. He wrote that letter back to the church at Thessalonica because he had to depart from there rapidly due to persecution. He didn't write a letter complaining about the persecution. He didn't write back to them saying, I'm really depressed and discouraged. He wrote back to them instructing them to do what he does. Rejoice in the Lord always. Never mind the circumstances. God is still good and he will take care of you. Then he writes Philippians. Where is he when he writes Philippians? He's in prison. Jailed in prison, in house arrest because of his ministry. Does he write regret? Does he say to the Philippians, never serve God, this is terrible, I feel awful, I'm not happy? No. Same thing. Rejoice in the Lord always. You kind of get the impression that the foundation of Paul's character in Christ was not the circumstances, but the Lord. And in any circumstances, ever always, he was always able to rejoice in the Lord, the God who would take care of him, the God who would give him hope, the God who would give him joy, the God he knew had a purpose in his life. Even when people mistreated him, even when the circumstances went south, he could always say, rejoice in the Lord. Because I know God. I know God. He will always take care of you. He always has a purpose for you. There's always hope in Christ. Maybe this message and this series resonates with you. Maybe it's because you're sitting here and you know you're a believer in Christ and you've been wondering all along as the Bible continually talks about joy, what is that? And am I experiencing it? Am I expressing it in my life? Or maybe you're sitting in here and you remember that day. You knew that joy in Christ and you're kind of wondering what happened to it. So far down the road, where did that go? And was it vanquished by the busyness and the stress of life? Was it torn apart from your heart by the worry and the struggle, the stress, the grief, the heartache of life? I want you to know that joyful Christian living is a practice you can cultivate. And more than anything else, God wants you to know Him and His joy in your life, no matter the circumstances. He wants to restore that joy in your life. Let me pray for us. Our Father, as we pause here in the moment, God, with so many here and so many at home, we go through so many circumstances. Father, maybe some of us right here, we're feeling the burdens and the stress and the struggle of life, and maybe we're thinking, well, the last thing I feel right now is joy. And maybe we have some in the room, God, that they remember the days when they experienced that joy and wonder what happened to that. So, Father, I pray for us this morning. I pray, God, that you would begin now restoring and renewing and recultivating that joy in our lives, that maybe for the first time even, we suddenly realize that our joy is in Christ and that it's a joyful thing to know Jesus, to be saved by God in Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray for us you would cultivate that in our lives. Now, God, also, we understand there are some things that might inhibit that joy. If there's sin in our lives, God, if there's bitterness in our lives, if there's worry in our lives, if there's something in our lives, God, that you're showing us even now would inhibit that joy growing and fostering in our lives, God, I pray you'd show us that we would confess that to you today. Maybe we need to come to the altar and bow before you. Maybe we need to start over with you. Maybe, God, we need to relinquish that worry and that lack of joy. Maybe, God, we need to ask your forgiveness for trying to produce happiness in our lives instead of trusting you in our lives. But God, you know where we are and what's going on. Father, I do pray for that one here or at home that's been yearning and seeking satisfaction for the soul. And they've been trying to fill it with everything, God, material possessions, relationships, money, whatever it is, trying to fill that satisfaction. I pray, God, that today that the Holy Spirit has spoken to them and they realize today that only you can bring that kind of joy and satisfaction in their lives. And today would be the day they'd come to Christ. Father, in this time of response coming up, I pray the Holy Spirit would nudge us, He would tug us, He would urge us, He would push us, He would move in our hearts and our minds, God, that we would make those decisions you're calling us to make. And when we leave this place, God, maybe we be relieved of the burden of trying to be happy, and instead, God, invest ourselves in the joy of the Lord today. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.